Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm glad you've joined us. We have such a great show lined up. Bill Cotterell will be with us. Jules Graham will be with us. And back again, Dr. Scott Burkhart from Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic will be with us. And of course, we've got events in a minute with Hannah Keating, and we'll give you some news from the week. All of it coming up right here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done. Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Protect your homes, family, and businesses with security and storm protection window film from Truck and Car Concepts.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. We have over 18 years experience in protecting against Mother Nature. Our security film is resistant to strong winds and broken glass. It also provides an invisible barrier to smash and grab thieves and intruders.
Protect your family with the best from Truck and Car Concepts. One block east of Weems Road on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800. Mention this ad and save 10% off your purchase.
Good morning again, friends. We are glad you have tuned in to be a part of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And that's kind of why we do what we do. We love it when folks come and talk with us about all the cool things going on in this fine town, and we know you like to know about that, and so many of you have sent us ideas about topics and guests over the many years that we've been doing this. We're now in our fourth season, can you believe that? And it seems like we've had opportunity to talk with so many folks from all kinds of lifestyles and quadrants and places, sectors of the community, from, you know, nonprofit groups to public officials to sports personalities and media people and music people. I mean, it's just been a wonderful lineup of talent and inspired people and inspiring people who, and we've got those folks here today, Bill Cotterell, and he'll talk about what's going on with Florida State, Florida politics, and particularly the state legislature in session. And then you've got Jules Graham, who's going to be with us and talk about her work with Cascades Park and the amphitheater. Dr. Burkhart, who, for his part, is a new arrival, but is arguably a good representative of the creative class we've been talking about here for some time. Those folks who make their home in Tallahassee as young professionals and continue to help us build out and grow and expand what is our vision for this community. And, you know, you and I are that part of the whole enterprise that really counts the most. It's like, I remember Tom Donahue was the founder of Domino's Pizza. He said to me, he said, "Brian, the most important person in our company is the fellow who, or the young lady who puts the sauce on the dough." Well, folks, you and I are the sauce purveyors for the dough, because we are the ones who make all this happen. It's not the select few who may have a great idea now and then, but it's what we do best. It's living out our lives and enjoying this community and all that it offers and all that it can be. You know, I was having a conversation with my daughter earlier this week, and she was angry at one of her brothers. doesn't surprise me. It happens frequently. And she said, I'm just angry with him. He doesn't listen to me. And that got me thinking about some of the readings that I've done over the years about relationships and communication and all that good stuff that we all like to dig into, at least some of us do. And it reminded me of Dennis Waitley, his book Seeds of Greatness, and he talks about the 10 seeds, I guess there's 9 or 10 of them. How many are there in this little thing? 10, yeah. And one of those has to do with the seed of communication. And so oftentimes we forget that the most important part in communicating is to listen. And so she was angry with her brother because he never listens to me. You know, I start telling him what's going on, and all of a sudden I realize he's completely tuned out. And we need to not do that with each other. We need to not do that as a community. We need to keep listening and asking questions and trying to get inside of what motivates each of us to do what we do, how we do it, and where we want it to go. I was at the Taltech Alliance luncheon earlier this week and heard there some thrilling ideas coming from some of those creative folks writing apps for Google Glass. I mean, goodness. And seeing Tallahassee as that seedbed of culture and technology and business and medicine, and you're going to hear a lot of that, I think, in today's show. Let's see, what's been going on in the week? Well, of course, we recall with great fondness and with some sorrow the passing of Governor Reuben Askew. The memorial service was early, as it was on Wednesday. And it was interesting. Sandy DeLombardi, a former Florida legislator and then president of Florida State, he said, you know, he was called Reuben the Good, and the person who coined that, I suspect, intended it to be cynical and derisive. That was his comment. But he said, in fact, it turned out to be just true, that he was Reuben the Good. Laid to rest earlier this week, the memorial service was at Faith Presbyterian Church there on Wednesday, and close to 700 people gathered to say one last farewell to the beloved Reuben Askew, governor of Florida. And other things going on around town, well, there's a new, new group of citizens that are looking at Gain Street and its development, and so you want to be aware of that if you want to participate in that conversation. And let's see, in the music scene, our good buddy Del Suggs is going to be performing tonight at the Dixie Theater over there in Apalachicola with Saltwater Music. And then the following Saturday, our very lovely Sarah Mack will be there as well. Both Sarah and Dell have been on the show. Hope to have them back here soon to tell us more about their music and what's going on in their careers and sing for us a little bit. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? So lots of stuff going on around, and I hope that you know what's going on. If you stay in touch with us, we try to make sure that's happening and you get to hear a little bit more of the inside scoop on such things. So, in fact, we have standing by to help us further on that endeavor, Hannah Keating. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Time now for Events in a Minute with Hannah Keating.
Thank you, Brian. If you're not busy on this lovely Saturday morning, head to the downtown marketplace and check out the fresh homegrown produce and organic items that were made available to you through your local farmers. There will be an abundance of fresh bread, eggs, flowers, and native plants. In addition to the nutrition, art and music will be available for your entertainment. Have you ever wondered how the 17th century Apalachee Indians crafted their bow and arrows? We'll come out to the archery bow making workshop today to find out. The workshop is an all-day event from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and will focus on crafting bows from hardwood and traditional twine. Tickets are $70 for members and $80 for non-members. Drew Tillman, who has been a reoccurring guest on Tallahassee Talks, will be performing live acoustic rock and blues at Rummy's Pizza tonight from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. He recently performed in the 30A Songwriters Festival and gave us a live performance in our studio. If you are looking for fun entertainment, we definitely recommend you coming out to Rummy's Pizza for his music. Finally, what better way to enjoy family fun than to join the Civic Center in welcoming Disney Junior live on tour this Friday? Grab your tiaras and get swept in the excitement of this live show featuring your favorite Disney characters. There will be two shows, one at 3:30 and one at 6:30. Tickets range from $15 to $45 depending on seating. You and your children will not want to miss it. For general information regarding these events, be sure to check out the community page on the Tallahassee Talks website. With your Events in a Minute, I'm Hannah Keating.
Events in a Minute with Hannah Keating is brought to you by TallyConnection.com, where more than 3 years ago, Tally Connection was launched to provide us with all kinds of information, helping to make it possible for us to stay in tune with this beautiful and lively community at the time and to this very day. This lovely little blog posts all kinds of information. They're there to help you for the very first time, or if you're visiting on several occasions, to keep you posted and up to date on local activities. TallyConnection.com, brought to you by FSU Credit Union.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781. Finally, the right face for radio. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Thanks for joining us this morning. We are so glad that you're with us. I should mention that this portion of the show is brought to you by Tommy T's there in Midtown on Thomasville Road, and it is a great little place to get a tune-up or an oil change. They got a great oil change package for less than $25, and plus parts. You get all this service, and Steve and John have been doing it forever. Stop by this week. Let them know that you heard it on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm going to buy you lunch. I'll buy you dinner or breakfast or whatever. Your choice at Canopy Road Cafe, or you can go to Up and Smoke. All you got to do is mention Tallahassee Talks when you get your oil changed, and you're in business. It's our way of saying thank you, because we love you so much. Glad you've tuned in. I can tell you this. He is a 47-year veteran of the newspaper business. He has been on the beat here and abroad for most of that time here in Tallahassee with the Tallahassee Democrat, arguably the dean of political reporting, and or as he might say, just one of the survivors. But he is with us again this morning, columnist Bill Cotterell. How are you, Mr. Cotterell?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're glad to have you with us again as we look at this year's 2014 legislative session, now having convened, well in progress. What are the big issues? I mean, what's the buzz? I know we've got the possibility of legalizing the medical use of marijuana. That's one of them. But there's a bunch of stuff out there. How does it look to you?
Well, of course, marijuana will be on the ballot in November, so the legislature next year will deal with the implementing, assuming it passes,
right,
which it probably shall. The legislature next year will be dealing with the implementing
of
legislation
that.
Of that, which is going to be.
And there are several bills that have been introduced.
Oh, yeah. There's a very important one. House Bill 843, Representative Katie Edwards from down in Broward County, and she's teamed up with one of the most conservative members of the House, Matt Gaetz, from over in Okaloosa County, who chairs the Criminal Justice Subcommittee. This bill would allow prescription of a non-euphoric, as they call it, a marijuana that doesn't get you high. You don't smoke it. It's an oil extract, and it's proved to be effective in treatment of seizures, epilepsy, things like that. That is probably going to pass. There's very, very little opposition. Even the opponents are not opposed so much to doing it. They're concerned about control to make sure that some of these non-euphoric marijuana seeds don't leak out the back door somehow and wind up in somebody's window box growing a highly euphoric type of marijuana. But so far, the buzz, we're 3 weeks into the session. We've got about six to go. The big thing, of course, every year is the budget, which is moving very fast this year. The Senate has already acted upon, it's a great measure, the governor's plan for a $500 million reduction in taxes and fees. Mm. They've passed a package which would cut auto licensing and registration fees. Mm. Roll back that. The biggest piece of it is to roll back the 2009 increases that were made during the recessionary budget crisis, 2008-2009. That's moved ahead very quickly. The Stand Your Ground legislation, which, of course, was defeated, the repeal of Stand Your Ground was defeated last November during the interim in a House committee. But there's a tweak on that, a revision that would spell out that Stand Your Ground may not be used by someone who is the aggressor in a confrontation.
Well, in fact, this situation that came up in Jacksonville.
And in the George Zimmerman, the Trayvon Martin case, where if you initiate the confrontation, you cannot then later claim to have been standing your ground.
Your Honor, it was self-defense. I mean, you went over and grabbed the guy out of his car.
It's going to be very hard to prove. It's going to be very hard to prove when someone else, the victim, say, is unarmed and you were armed. Mm. There are some, and here again, we've got a melding of the more conservative and liberal. Chris Smith from Broward County, the Senate Minority Leader, who is, I think you could say, a liberal Democrat, certainly on this issue. And David Simmons, Senator Simmons from Altamont Springs, a conservative Republican who, when he was in the House, was one of the sponsors of Stand Your Ground in 2005. Uh-huh. They've come together on this, and they've seemed to have found accord in the Senate, certainly not to repeal Stand Your Ground, but to amend it so that, and also the bill would provide for neighborhood watch organizations, the police agencies, every city and county would have to provide training for these and guidelines, at least, not necessarily training, but publish guidelines saying, okay, if you're going to be a neighborhood watch organization, here are the rules. You don't get out of your car and confront someone unless you have to rescue a victim. I mean, obviously, you can rescue someone who's under attack or put out a fire or do something that rescues a person in a dire emergency. But just in the routine course of events, you don't jump out of the car and ask to see somebody's papers and identify themselves and explain why they're here. You would call the police and let them handle it. That's another part of the bill that does not repeal Stand Your Ground in any way. In the case like Marion Hammer, the NRA lobbyist, likes to point out, in 2005, this was never intended to have people attacking each other. It was to allow you to defend yourself when you are attacked.
Huh. Well, in fact, the whole press buzz about the Zimmerman case, I mean, all that got so celebrated. And there were people that were jumping on that train every time you looked around. Do you think that the core of that issue became sort of muddled in as much as there were a lot of racial connotation? The race card was being played. And,
unfortunately, obviously, and again in Jacksonville with the Michael Dunn case and the unrelated, the Marissa Anderson Marissa Alexander case, in which this woman went to her car, got a pistol, came back, and fired what she called a warning shot close to her estranged husband who was menacing her. She was charged with assault, basically armed assault, and faces now on a retrial up to 60 years for multiple counts of different acts, I suppose. But people are saying, and here again, this was a black couple. And people are saying, well, the black woman fires a warning shot, doesn't hit anybody, and she's arrested and charged with aggravated armed assault and using a weapon. And Michael Dunn gets a hung jury on a murder and convicted on three attempts. And George Zimmerman walks.
It doesn't help.
When young black men, 17-year-old black men, are dead.
Talking with Bill Cotterell, columnist for the Tallahassee Democrat. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tin it. Truck and Car Concepts, 656-8800. Give us a call.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning with columnist Bill Cotterell and talking about Florida politics, especially in relation to the 2014 legislative session in progress. 3 weeks in, 6 weeks to go, and this young man has been on the beat for near... nigh on half a century there, Mr. Bill.
Well, starting in the old capital. There was no new capital when I came here.
They built it around you, I think.
Yes. Well, they filled up my parking space. I used to have a parking space behind the old capital, which is now...
What's the matter with these people?
Covered with 100 feet of concrete.
Clearly, they didn't know who they were dealing with.
Yes. They covered the Waller Park parking lot.
What do you think? Basically, what do you think of Cascades Park?
I have not been there yet, but I've seen it on TV. I've read about it in the newspaper. Yeah. I'm really glad that after all these years, they finally got it. And it looks like a wonderful resource for the community where people can go on a weekend and take their children. And of course, there will be concerts. We'll see how the neighbors like it when Jimmy Buffett comes to town or something like that. I don't know. What the noise level is.
I'm looking
be
for
in
Green
Park.
Day, you know, one of the current, maybe one of the indie bands, like Sorn, not to plug my son's band, but you know.
Well, I would imagine that I hope they've solved. I saw a lot of stories about how they were working on the noise situation, and
you know
I certainly hope.
I got worried. I was over there Friday night, the last weekend, the grand opening and all, my wife and I walking around. And it occurred to me, as we were enjoying the stroll, here comes this big old freight train rolling down the tracks. And I'm thinking, great, some guy is going to get schnockered and go wandering out onto the tracks. My God.
Of course, that could have happened always.
Anyway,
but
when you get a couple thousand people at a concert.
I hope the promoters are going to take that into account because
has anybody
you'd,
talked
hate to
about
have,
this?
You'd hate to have a really good act, somebody that you've paid a couple $100 to come see, Green Day or whatever, up there performing, and here comes the 6:15 heading for, you know, Pensacola, roaring through town. That's not going to be cool.
I mean, one of the other finer points, I guess, to be considered. But I'm like you. I think that it's a marvelous transformation of what otherwise was essentially a holding pond.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've removed the contaminated soil. And, you know, and of course, Adam is going to run in there with his partner and build a restaurant in the old gasification plant or building, I guess, and you know what's wrong with that, you know?
Right, it could be part of that. Of course, it connects to Gaines Street, and it could be part of this. We've heard for so many years about a 24-hour downtown, where you know Tallahassee by 7 o'clock downtown's pretty much deserted, except that little strip along Adams Street during the session,
right
around Clyde's.
Speaking of that, and your role in this whole thing, you. Is that still how it's done? If you want to get a story with somebody, are you hanging out, buying them drinks, or what do you what?
I mean, the rules have changed too, as far as what you you can do. You can't be, you know, buying somebody a Rolex. You know, just
not like the old days.
let's talk about the old days.
But in Chicago, they used to get New York. They had the term honest graft.
Yeah.
Where it was just considered part of the.
That's right. I'm paying you off, but everybody knows it.
Part of the scene. I don't drink, so I never go. The Adam Street scene is a little alien to me. I don't.
Well, that accounts for your longevity, for one thing.
Probably. Yeah. But I used to.
And being very grumpy, too, I might add.
Yeah. Well, I used to have an editor at the Democrat who, when he was single, he was on Adam Street every night and schmoozing with legislators, and he'd get these story tips and ideas, and we'd get calls the next morning. I want you to run this down. The guy, governor's going to appoint this guy to the Board of Regents, and I heard this. And we were always chasing these wild geese that he'd picked up from his friends. And finally, he married a friend of mine, another reporter at the Democrat, and I told her that her greatest contribution to the Democrat was to get Bob out of the bars so he stopped picking up these rumors and things like that. And
stories
domesticated him, so we could finally get some work done without chasing the editor's rumors. But well, of course, more seriously, the gift ban that affects the legislature, also another product of 2005, when they imposed that. That's one of those things, like stand your ground. It's sacred.
Yeah.
They'll never change it.
Yeah,
the public likes it. The gift ban. They don't like the image of their legislators
being schmoozed to death,
eating a $40 steak and sloshing down the scotch with lobbyists. That image, truthfully, a lobbyist can go to dinner with the legislator. They each pay their own way, and the lobbyist can hand him a check for $3,000 in a statewide campaign. So I don't know how the campaign contribution is not corrupting, but picking up a dinner tab or even so much as a cup of coffee would somehow corrupt the legislative process. It just seems incongruous.
Well, there you go. It is that perception of, well, I'm going to fly down to the Keys and, you know, and we're going to bring a bunch of people together and we're going to have a party versus, well, you know, I want to contribute to your campaign.
We once had
what we call things, I guess.
A long time, a 30-year senator named W.D. Childers from Pensacola, when they were passing all this legislation, not the gift ban, but the periodically they do these campaign reform things, he put a sign on his door for lobbyists, said, just leave the money. Don't bring me any golf clubs or any flowers, things like that.
Yeah.
But, of course, he was joking. But, and of course, it's not just a $3,000 contribution. If you're a lobbyist, it's $3,000 from each of your clients. So you could, as long as you buy your own hamburger and your own cup of coffee and go Dutch on the meal, you can hand over, say, 20 checks of $3,000 each from each of your clients, and that's perfectly legal.
Yeah. So in that way, do you find that there is a sort of matter-of-fact approach to how ideas are fostered and sponsored? I mean, if I am in that position as a lobbyist, you're a legislator, you see me coming, you know me. I mean, we've been doing business for a long time. And so there's that sort of, I don't know if you want to call it cronyism, but at least there's a kind of...
The good side of cronyism
business relationship, we'll call it.
The good side of cronyism is trust and accountability and past experience, and it certainly is not just money. We've got this session, for instance, there are issues of fracking. I believe that the legislature last week in the Senate had a hearing, and I have not covered that issue, so I don't know exactly what the bill does, but there are arguments the environmentalists are in there opposed to fracking, the oil industry, the gas industry, people like that. The developers want to ensure that there is a steady energy stream. Casino gambling is going to be a huge issue. And the various casino interests there have retained lobbyists here in Tallahassee who've been around a long time and who are trusted and known to legislators. And it's not just because of the money that they raise for campaigns. It's they've, like you say, they've dealt with these guys over the years. They know them, and they trust. There's a level of trust. People you've done business with in the past, when I say business, of course, we're talking about legislative decisions. Mm-hmm. It's not a commercial quid pro quo. Mm-hmm. But if a person has been reliable and has given you accurate information and hasn't lied to you in the past, you'll listen to them. Mm-hmm. And if they've also raised some money for your reelection, well, you'll smile when you listen to them.
Talking with Bill Cotterell about Florida state, Florida politics here and the state legislature in session. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You know, we have a great little website, TallahasseeTalks.com, which gives you all kinds of additional information. So be sure you check that out. Some of you are listening right now online, and we appreciate that, as well as listeners to 93.3, our flagship station in Tallahassee. So thanks for tuning in this morning. If you have a topic or a guest you'd like us to consider, you can always email us, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page. It's a great place, too, where you can leave comments or post a photo or ask a question, whatever you want to do. So stay with us. We'll have Bill Cotterell staying with us right after this.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400, because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Now we're talking Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Bill Cotterell, columnist with the Tallahassee Democrat, a 47-year veteran of the news beat, and has been for his many years at the newspaper, bringing us all that is fit to print, we say, and some probably not, but in the realm of the political happenings.
Well, I prefer to say all the news that fits, we print.
Yes, indeed. And in this digital world, that mm-hmm. could be immense.
Yes.
Which reminds me, you've written, I guess it's the column that you've written recently about Reuben Askew.
Yes.
And his, would it be fair to say, is it overstating to say that he left a legacy?
Oh,
for
very
Florida?
Much so.
Yeah.
I wrote my Thursday column. When I came here in 1969 as a young reporter with United Press International, the UPI bureau chief, who is a legendary figure, she had been covering the Capitol for 25 years or so, Barbara Fry, was conducting a quick tutorial tell me about the 1970 political scene. And I remember her saying that the Republican race was set. Governor Claude Kirk was up for re-election. There was a congressman running for the U.S. Senate. The Democratic side was wide open. And Barbara said, if they're lucky and smart, the Democrats will nominate Lawton Chiles for the Senate and Reuben Askew for governor. She said, you know, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. But Florida did get lucky. And the Democrats were smart that year. Of course, Governor Chiles, Senator Chiles, then Governor Chiles, passed away in 1998. Reuben Askew died early this month here in Tallahassee at the age of 85. And he was, I really believe, universally respected. He didn't just outlive his enemies. Mm-hmm. I covered his administration back in the early to mid-70s, and he didn't just outlive his enemies, his opponents, earned their respect. He was unfailingly honest. He made, what I said in my column Thursday, he did things he didn't have to do. He made tough decisions. Sometimes it would have been easy for him, for instance, not to have advocated a corporate income tax. He would have had a lot more campaign contributions from business, but he felt it was the right thing to do, and he championed that. In 1972, they had what they call a straw ballot, just asking a non-binding question on the presidential primary ballot that said, do you want a constitutional amendment to restore school prayer and an amendment to ban school busing? George Wallace, governor of Alabama, was campaigning in Florida for president at that time. Busing was a very hot issue. School prayer was very popular. Askew quietly, with dignity, just said he would vote no. He knew those issues would pass overwhelmingly, but he felt they were not, that amending the Constitution was not a good way to go, and that those matters should not be part of our policy. Then when the Supreme Court struck down capital punishment, Askew had been an assistant state attorney. He had prosecuted criminals. He supported capital punishment reluctantly, with no joy in it. Other governors and senators and congressmen were screaming the U.S. Supreme Court was coddling criminals. We've got to get the death penalty back. Some legislators wanted to have a special session. The attorney general at the time was a very tough guy named Bob Chevin. He wanted to reinstate it as quickly as possible. Askew took his time, held public hearings, listened to the experts on all sides, and came back with, he advocated a very tightly drawn, limited restoration of the death penalty that he wanted for just the most heinous, just shocking, ghastly crimes. It would have been very easy. He was up for re-election the next year. It would have been very easy to get out there and join the chorus of people yelling for restoration. And, of course, in his final year as governor, there was a casino gambling amendment on the ballot. And Askew just felt that that was wrong for the state. We did not need casino gambling. It was his own morality as well as a policy decision. And here again, it would have been easy to jump on the bandwagon, but he opposed it. And I think largely through his example of open government and honesty, I think he greatly helped defeat casino gambling that year.
And in fact, and I want to say it might have been Gerald Inslee who wrote about him in relation to his contributions to the Florida Supreme Court, that his work there, I think the phrase was, created a model of efficiency and integrity that was admired worldwide then after his involvement.
Well, it seems strange now, but we used to elect Supreme Court justices in competitive races, and there'd be a Democratic and Republican nominee. Askew supported the constitutional change that made them nonpartisan and appointed offices, and he created, not just for the Supreme Court, but for the other courts as well, judicial nominating commissions where a panel of the Florida Bar, some lay people, legal experts would screen. People would apply for a judgeship. They would be screened professionally. These are the appellate courts, the District Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court.
Right.
And as governor, he voluntarily gave up his power to appoint his friends and contributors, and he professionalized, if you will, the appellate courts that way.
From your point of view, and I'm going to pick on you a little bit here, do we have that kind of leadership available to us now?
Unfortunately, I don't think we do. And it's not, I wouldn't blame any living politician or current office holder. We've created a system has evolved in which you've got to raise a ton of money. You've got to be mediagenic, get on, certainly it used to be just get on television. Now it's got to be online. You have to have a presence there. And issues are shaped and marketed. You've got to be on the right side of these issues if you want to have a chance to win. And I'm not blaming the politicians for it. We, the people, have responded to, say, negative campaigning and attack ads, and these ads by supposedly independent third-party groups, Floridians for fresher breath and straighter teeth, you know, put up an ad saying, call Congressman Sludge Pump and tell him to keep fighting for America, or, you know, call this candidate and tell him to quit attacking our families and quit advocating higher taxes. They never say vote for or vote against. They buy time on air and tell us what a great guy or what a bad guy someone is, and always tell us to call him, as if anybody ever would. Right. But they do that instead of saying vote for or vote against. But because the public, because negative campaigning works, and because pandering to popular things, whether it be gun control or tax cuts or environmental issues, promising jobs, whatever it is, because the public responds to this and doesn't take, certainly an Askew would be impossible today. In 1970, he wanted a corporate income tax, and he got it, a 5% tax on corporate profits. And you create the illusion that it's a personal income tax.
And there you go, folks. We have here Bill Cotterell, who for his part has done his very best to try to keep us informed and posted on the latest. And we continue to benefit from his experience and his stalwart effort to bring us the facts, nothing but the facts. And so thank you, my dear friend, for being a part of the show this morning.
Thank you, Brian. It's always a pleasure.
Folks, that's what we have for you at this time. We're going to take a quick break here. ABC News is at the top of the hour. You be sure to stay with me. We'll have Jules Graham coming up, and Dr. Scott Burkhart will join us to talk about their work over there at Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The possibility of a concussion is a reality for anyone who is active in sports or physical activity. Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic has opened its regional concussion center, providing baseline and post-concussion testing to aid in evaluation and treatment. The TOC Foundation is proud to offer baseline concussion testing as a community service for only $20. Call today for an appointment, 877-8174.
Our warming trend continues on Saturday with high temperatures in the high 70s across the Big Bend. Skies will be mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of seeing a few light showers. Overnight lows will dip to the low 50s. Winds at the coast will be out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour, and seas will be 1 to 2 feet with protected waters a smooth to light chop. The UV index will be high in the 7 to 8 range. Sunday will be similar to Saturday with highs in the mid 70s and mostly cloudy skies. Rain chances will be slightly higher during the day, hovering around 30%. A few thunderstorms are possible in the afternoon, with lows overnight falling to the low to mid 50s. Winds at the coast will be out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour, with seas 1 to 2 feet, and protected waters smooth to a light chop. River levels are high around the entire Big Bend, with river flood warnings in effect for most waterways. Stay aware of conditions and be prepared to move to higher ground if necessary near rivers and streams. With your Tallahassee Talks Weekend Weather Update, I'm forecaster Lauren Visson.
Welcome back, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, here on a Saturday morning in the month of March. And we have with us a lovely young lady who, for her part, contributes sizably to the broadcast content, the programming at WFSU Television. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you'll see Dimensions, hosted by Jules Graham. Good morning, Ms. Graham. How are you?
I'm fine. Nice to be here.
You look fabulous. You just look like you're ready for the day, and I know that you have a lot of fans. You've been doing this for 6 years, is that right?
Yeah, 6 years.
Do you ever get up on a given morning and say, you know, I'm just done with this. I don't want to do this show anymore. Does that happen? Or you?
No, I'm more the opposite. I get up and I think, I wish I had longer segments to do this show. There's more to talk about than we have time.
And your show really focuses on a lot of the places and people, the things that we have to offer here in the community. We have things going on that you're trying to bring us, right?
Cultural affairs, yeah. Whatever's going on, whatever can benefit the public.
Yeah.
Some, you know, if there are festivals, if there's a change in policy, if there's something the public needs to know, we like to be able to tell them. And as, you know, public TV, we have a duty to do that.
Yeah. And in doing so, you've been all over the place, it seems. I mean, caverns over there, and
yes, with our one tank trips. Yeah, we're very mindful.
Apalachicola River, and
yeah, national parks, lots of parks, lots of springs, lots of festivals. But we were mindful of the downturn in the economy, that people want to get out and do things, but finances are limited. So we started these one tank trips, and that's sort of when our crew started going off just one gas tank away from Tallahassee.
There you go.
Yeah.
And now we have this lovely thing called Cascades Park.
It started in, I guess, October of 2011 when I was part of the KCCI, the Knight Creative Communities Institute group.
That played a substantial role in bringing this about.
It was called the Cultivate Cascades Committee.
Yes.
And we did a bunch of research. It was quite extensive. And we went to the city and county and showed them that the people that responded to this research, we want to have an amphitheater where we can actually see live stuff.
I see.
And that led to a couple of guys from Blueprint, Gary Phillips, Dave Snyder, Lee Daniel from Visit Tallahassee, and I going over to St. Augustine Amphitheater and saying, these guys know how to do it. Wow. They do it successfully. And it's not an easy gig.
Having Why? An amphitheater.
Well, because it's hard to make money. It's tough. So if you want to do it, you have to do it right. And so there was a big learning curve for everyone, and Blueprint took it and ran with it.
In this case, the county and city being those folks who would be the money makers on booking talent, is that what you mean?
Well, because there was money coming in from the county, we knew that Visit Tallahassee wanted to get heads in beds, as they say. And to get that, you have to bring in talent that is larger than local.
Gotcha.
So to have larger than local talent, you have to have basic infrastructure, sound, lighting, stage, production, green room, catering, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
And the original plans for the amphitheater didn't include any of that.
I see.
So that was sort of the growth to be a local venue and possibly national, maybe international, who knows.
So in that regard, do you feel like the amphitheater now can support that? You have the infrastructure needed to attract somebody like a Jimmy Buffett or a Green Day or something?
Absolutely. Yeah. There will be some restrictions. Some groups don't play to a house that only holds, 3,000, 3,200 people. Some bands are too loud.
Mm.
And we have, noise restrictions. We have time restrictions. But it is perfect. There is not a bad seat in the house. So you can have Green Day come and do an acoustic version. It would be magnificent.
Mm. So it can be accommodated.
Absolutely.
Some others have asked the question about the neighborhood, and you mentioned sound levels, audible levels, right? So so a lot of the local neighbors have been, or some have been worried about that. But it seems to have not prohibited the progress that you all have made. I mean, this is substantial.
Yeah, the progress has been substantial, but I think the city and county have been very accommodating with the surrounding neighborhoods. And on the stage committee, which I'm a member of, there are three members from surrounding neighborhoods there. So they all have a voice. And so kind of baby steps, going to take it a little bit gently in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But the sound is going to be fantastic. It's a passive park 95% of the time, 24-acre passive park. And then 12 nights out of the year, there may be a national act.
I happened to drive by earlier in the week, and it was, when was that, Wednesday afternoon, probably around 3:30, and there were a good number of folks in the park just strolling about.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
I love seeing it. People running, kids.
Weekday afternoon.
Yep.
Any hint as to what kind of entertainment we might be seeing in the year ahead? I mean, I know things are still sort of in formation there. Probably in negotiation with folks, so
and
it's hard to say.
We really can't say until we get a signed contract.
Sure.
There's just no point even speculating, unfortunately. Of course, I would like to see, I'd love to see an acoustic version of Coldplay. I'd love to see Dave Matthews, Zac Brown.
Yeah.
I know, we've contacted a bunch of people.
Yeah.
But because Tallahassee fills a gap between Pensacola and St. Augustine, then normally when tours come through, normally in Florida they like to do four different gigs before they get out of the state.
Yeah.
If they can stay in North Florida and not have to dip down to Tampa or Miami, it's very cost effective for them.
Yeah, so they might do Orlando, St. Augustine, Tallahassee, Pensacola, and then on.
And scoot on.
Yeah. My son was touring last year. I remember that he played Tallahassee. And then, I guess he played Mobile and then up to Tennessee and then back down to Orlando. I mean, it was killing him.
Yeah.
And then they were up the East Coast. They finally ended up in Boston and then drove from Boston all the way to San Diego. Oh my goodness. I mean, these poor
There's an
bulls.
Easier way.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it was just, and I kept telling him, you know, this is the way it works. You're paying your dues. And a lot of these younger bands that are not necessarily younger, but just not as well known.
They're so willing.
Are willing to do that.
Yeah, because they want the stage time and exposure, yeah.
And a lot of good talent out there. So what about the 4th of July this year? That just sort of begs the question, doesn't it? Well, folks, we're in tune with Jules Graham here, who for her part has been hosting the lovely, very fine TV show Dimensions every Wednesday night at 7:30 on WFSU. And she is our guest here in this half hour as we learn a little bit more about what she does to make our lives a little better and how Cascades Park has become part of her life and her involvement, especially with the amphitheater and entertainment and such. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781. The best place for conversation. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Jules Graham with us and talking about lots of things, especially this lovely big thing, Cascades Park, and the very attractive amphitheater that it now sports for us. Some people were concerned about the train rolling through and that being a part of the whole evening when you've got this lovely concert going on.
It's going to be great. We should have the whistle stop tour or the something tour. There should be something that every time the train comes through six times a day, we all stand
salute and, or I mean, jump up and down. I mean,
just a Tallahassee right. signature.
Right. It's like the seventh. Is it the seventh inning where they sing, or the fifth inning where they sing "Oh Canada" at the ballpark?
That,
right?
Exactly. That
Every
sort
time
of thing.
We
yeah.
the train
All right,
comes
here
through.
A train to come or something.
But what if it's during a concert? What do you do?
So
you just
what?
Stop and wait. Oh, okay.
That's what we say. So what? It's going to happen. Deal. It's ambience. It's another additional part of the park, and it's going to be there. So.
But are there safety concerns? What if you got a couple thousand people at a show, and you know, maybe now alcohol is not allowed in the park. Is that right or wrong?
There will be concessions.
So I mean, maybe some guy's a little over the top, and he wanders out on the railroad tracks. I mean,
security is going to be good.
I imagine.
Yes.
They're going to have to watch all us boys and girls so we don't hurt ourselves, huh?
And yeah, no one's going to be wandering near the tracks.
I love. Okay, well, I'm happy to hear that because I would probably be that guy. So, is everything working technically? We were down there and saw this beautiful little several fountains and
yes.
and the one what's it called that is the
well there's the,
for the kids to
yes
paddle around or,
where there are 60 jets and it yeah, lights yeah. up at night and all that
yeah,
sort of thing
yeah.
yeah they have a few more little tweaks that they're doing on that. I've seen it working. It's amazing. It's
it
choreographed to has five different tunes or something. Maybe one day we're going to be seeing the symphony playing and the music being choreographed
that would
to the
be
symphony.
Fun, wouldn't it?
There's all sorts of things.
It does open up the potential then for this as a lovely facility and a venue that can just provide that kind of foundation, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be the heartbeat of downtown.
Yeah.
So everyone can come there. I mean, in summer, all the kids can play in that fountain. It's all the surface is all non-slip. It is safe.
Mm.
It's just going to be a place where people gather and have a good time, and it's 24 acres.
In your from your vantage point as a host of Dimensions on WFSU 7:30 on Wednesday night, what do you find most compelling, I guess, about the idea that Tallahassee is sort of coming together on such things? Does it feel that way to you, that there's a kind of
very much
blossoming
so.
Going on? Or?
And it has for the last maybe 5 years for me. Ever since Gaines Street, Midtown, that sort of thing started to get up mm-hmm. and get going, mm-hmm. I've felt this energy. And I love it, and there's so much potential here. And I've often thought, I wonder why we haven't done these sort of things before.
Well, indeed, and it's my humble observation that it's happening in various quadrants, you might say, or in various sectors of the community, in the business community, in the tech community, in the cultural community, we'll say, in government. And some of that is by design with folks like KCCI and Town and Gown and such and Blueprint. I mean, there's been a lot of very devoted, and you're one of those folks, people who have worked very hard for a long time to bring this forward. So it didn't happen by accident.
No.
And at the same time, there's a kind of, I think, a kind of critical mass where you get enough people thinking the same way, and all of a sudden there's this sort of synergism.
Yes.
And that by itself takes off, and it just kind of goes.
A groundswell. And yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with when I started seeing people become more pedestrian, more walking, more biking, more walking to restaurants, more sitting outside. Who cares what the weather's like? Just sit outside. That sort of, I think when you start seeing people outside, that's when you start seeing this growth of, I don't know, just a more urban environment. I think we all have cars and we just don't need to get outside as much as if we lived in a city, big city.
Well, and that's a very good point. And the fact that people are starting to ask why not instead of why.
Yes.
You know, and I still hear lots of naysayers, oh, we don't need a performing arts center. I mean, what a colossal waste of money. Why would we want to do that? And I'm asking, well, why not?
Ooh. I'm the same as you. I always think, first of all, I try and think positive and I try and think big, but none of these changes need to take away from all the good that's already here.
In fact. Well, and that applies. I was at the Taltech Alliance luncheon earlier this week. And here we have this young man who has spent the last several months with his partner writing an app for Google Glass. And his comment, which I found more interesting even than his presentation, which was very fine, was about Tallahassee being recognized as a center for technological contributions, along with more recognizable or more often mentioned Miami and Orlando and Tampa. And so, again, the point was, why would we not do that in Tallahassee?
Yes.
When we have that kind of talent, we have the kind of resource that the universities are offering, and the business community is fostering. Even people like Vincent Hunt with Massive Corporation are stepping up and saying, hey, this is our time.
And we have to thank, I think, Eric Barron for bringing some fairly ungroovy subjects to the forefront. Science and technology, and kind of making them fashionable. He's been able to talk up those subjects to the point where it is relevant for all of us, and we're enthused about it now.
You mourn his moving on to Penn State as I do. I think all of us sort of like, oh no.
But it's great.
You wish him well, of course.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing who's next and you know what the next stages are, but great growth.
He was a guest not long ago here on the show, and I asked him, I said, what did you want to do when you were a little kid?
What did he say?
He said, I was 8 years old. I got a geology kit for my birthday, and I wanted to be a geologist. And his passion with his interest and passion in science and mathematics then has carried him through his academic career and on into his administrative career, even as much as he brought those topics to the forefront, as
yes,
you say.
Yes, I love it. Mm.
Jules Graham, who is the host of Dimensions on WFSU every Wednesday night at 7:30, our guest. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Jules, thank you so much for being with us.
Been a pleasure.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room, 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tin it. Truck and Car Concepts, 656-88. 800. Give us a call.
Whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I'm Emily Brown with this week's IMAX UMAX update. IMAX 3D at the Challenger Learning Center is the ultimate movie experience. The theater not only features Hollywood films on a daily basis, but also features one-hour educational and entertaining IMAX documentaries. Many of the documentaries are shown during the day to accommodate school-age field trips to our theater. If you've wanted to see one or more of our documentaries but are unable to make the usual daytime showings, you are in luck. Just this week, the Challenger IMAX Theater is featuring three popular documentaries: Hidden Universe 3D, The Last Reef 3D, and Jerusalem 3D, all during primetime movie hours. An IMAX documentary and dinner downtown always makes for a fantastic evening. For movie showtimes and descriptions, visit ChallengerTLH.com. With IMAX UMAX, I'm Emily Brown.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We are here in this last half hour of our two-hour broadcast here on a beautiful Saturday. Hope your Saturday is beautiful wherever you may be. It's been our pleasure to have you here, as it is every Saturday morning. We like the fact that we have such very interesting and talented folks, people like Scott Burkhart, who come and share with us from their part of the world what they do and how they are contributing to the community at large. And for his part, Dr. Burkhart is a neuropsychologist at Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic. Dr. Burkhart, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you back.
Appreciate it.
It's been a little while since you were here last, and I keep bragging about you. Every time I talk about the creative class that we all sort of get all lathered up and thinking about how Tallahassee is changing, this notion that young practicing professionals in various fields find Tallahassee their home. Well, you're certainly one of the poster kids in that effort, and so it's our pleasure to have you here, and for a lot of reasons, and but not the least of which would be to get at the business of how your work in treating those who are, is it right to say, victims of concussion?
Yeah, I think people who sustain concussions. I think we, our clinic has been open now since October, and we are certainly expanding, touching more individuals that are sustaining concussions in a variety of activities, whether that's a car accident, a on-the-job injury. You know, being at Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic, our primary role is to look after sports injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
But we certainly, how you sustain a car accident concussion is really no different than how you sustain an athletic concussion.
And you're seeing a fair number of those, I guess. Is it a more frequently occurring problem than we may realize, do you think?
I would assume, and I think on good merit, that there are more concussions going on in Tallahassee than I think we realize.
And that are being diagnosed that way, even because the person says, oh, I'm fine. And
yeah, so often maybe you fall off a ladder or you bang your head on some object at home and you've got persistent headaches for 2 weeks and you just tend to think, this
is
something.
Oh, it's a bruise.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it is, but it's the inside of your head.
Yeah, and I think that people often one of the most difficult things, and I see this a lot with the student athletes that we treat, is you get used to a new baseline. You get used to a new normal. We see student athletes who sustain concussions and may have ongoing visual dysfunction or balance dysfunction or even new symptoms like headaches that they just live with, and it becomes your new normal. So 80% now is your new 100%. And if you stack enough of these head injuries on top of each other, your new normal becomes very distant from what your old normal was.
And you don't have that reference because nobody saw you, tested you prior to any
or nobody,
of this happening.
Yeah, or nobody gives you the dialogue that this is a concussion.
I see.
And this is how you're being affected by that injury.
And I understand, too, that's where TOC has tried to step up and say, if you've got a young fellow or a young lady that's going to be participating, especially in sports, right? You can go in and get these, what is it called, baseline testing, right? Tell us about that.
Well, and that's the benefit of the baseline testing is we get a snapshot of what normal is a head injury in terms of cognitive performance. Unfortunately, there are areas that concussion hits that we can't baseline, but we can look at how these individuals function in terms of their cognitive performance. We use a 25-minute computer-based test. It goes down to
age. So it really is objective. It's not just how many fingers am I holding
it's
up.
It's completely quantifiable. It's actually based on more traditional neuropsych testing. And we use the impact test, which is the most widely used test in the country. It's the one that the NFL teams and Florida State's using, and everybody's using in terms of how to monitor cognition with concussion.
And what are some of those kinds of questions that come up?
We look at verbal memory, visual memory, reaction time, visual motor speed, domains or composites that are affected by the injury. So when you, for example, it's funny, people think that you have to pass this concussion test when you do sustain a concussion. And it's really not a pass-fail as so much as it is a sliding scale of where you're performing in relation to the injury. And more or less, it's a test of multitasking because we see this multitasking capacity or ability really go out the window following an injury. People aren't getting IQ drops with concussion. They're not getting some of the traditional problems that we may think are occurring. What they're more seeing is just gradual and slight changes in terms of their ability to concentrate, remember, pay attention. And all that ties in with kind of that comprehensive.
Maybe my mother dropped me on my head because that's been a recurring problem for me.
Well, we all have our strengths and weaknesses.
In all of my very fine 59 years, thank you very much. I mean, I tell people you have to speak slowly and don't use big words with me because it's just, it's not a good time. So, folks, I hope you're getting this. We have in our midst here, this man who, where did you come from? You were Midwesterner?
Well, Oregon originally, and then I did my training in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we say that you're one of these folks that Richard Florida calls the creative class. So here we have one, folks, right here for you. He's wearing the T-shirt. And if you're unfamiliar with that whole notion, it's been... intellectually, at least, the foundation for a lot of the focus that folks at KCCI and Town and Gown and Blueprint and all of these various organizations around us that have looked at how we grow Tallahassee in the, I mean, in a very decided way to attract folks who, like Dr. Burkhart, decide to make Tallahassee their home. When there are plenty of other choices out there, and for your part, I guess you've been here, what, all of about?
Since August.
8 months now? Is that what it amounts to?
Yeah, so, going about, 8 months, 7 months.
So how do you find us so far? Are we taking care of you?
Love it.
Are we being
love
nice
it.
To you?
It is. I'm a small
Don't
town.
Go!
I'm a small town guy at heart, and that was a part of the appeal.
Really?
Absolutely. I grew up in a town of about 11,000.
Okay.
And Tallahassee has a small town feel for how big it is, which I like.
Yeah, it's a small town with a lot of people in it.
It is, but you still get that feel. It's a great place for families.
Right. Well, so for that reason, folks, we wanted to have Dr. Burkhart with us. Again, he's a neuropsych psychologist, and we're going to take just a quick break here. And when we come back, we want to find out more. What is a neuropsychologist? What is it that you actually do to help those patients that are seeking your services? And particularly how that fits in, I guess, with the model, I guess we'd say, that Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic mm-hmm. has going. Folks, you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have Dr. Scott Burkhart here this morning. And I want to remind you that we have a lovely website, TallahasseeTalks.com, is there just for you because we love you so much. And if you have an opportunity to visit the site, you'll find out more about what we do and why we do and people like Dr. Burkhart and their work there at Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic. There's a page there for your Tallahassee VIP Club. Do you know about this? If you text the word tally to the phone number you see there, or the text number, you get discounts and stuff like that. So it's a great place, TallahasseeTalks.com. You can also email us with topics or guests that you'd like us to have here on the show by emailing topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. That's what we do, and that's why we're here. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Merry Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at merrymaids.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we are talking with Dr. Scott Burkhart. He is with Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic. And as promised, we're going to find out more about what a neuropsychologist does to help patients. This is different than being a neurologist, right?
Yes, correct.
And as a neuropsychologist, it seems to me your role is on that adaptive, restorative side of things where mm-hmm. a person is really trying to regain facility and capacity. Is that a fair description?
Very accurate. Okay. So a neuropsychologist, or the way that you become a neuropsychologist, is you go to... I went to a traditional graduate program for psychology, went through a lot of training with respect to doing psychotherapy and the assessment piece that comes along with that. Mm-hmm. After completing that training, I went and specialized for an additional 2 years in brain behavior relationships.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's taking it to the next level in terms of just having a greater understanding of neurobiology, injuries that are commonly affecting the brain, mm-hmm. how that gets transmitted into behavior.
Now, if you were just looking at me as a passerby, would you be able to tell that I've been Dane Bramaged?
No, not at all. Totally normal.
Oh, okay.
And I stand by that. I think you're completely normal.
Okay, well, there's Carl. There's one.
There's one.
On my side. Carl's disputing that. But
we won't ask how many are on the other side.
There's a host of folks over there that you're going to have to... hefty argument to deal with, but so it isn't that casual. You are seeing folks who we know have incurred some injury, mm-hmm. and is the part of that you do one component of?
No, we do treatment? We basically have tried to create an outpatient model for concussion injuries. We specialize primarily just in concussion injuries. As part of my training to be a neuropsychologist, I got exposure to some of the things that neuropsychologists typically do, like Alzheimer's, dementia, ADHD. But because this injury is so fascinating, because it's something that people typically recover from, because it is a very rewarding field, that's why I've invested in just primarily specializing in it. I think it's a nice tool for the community because you get instant access to a specialty clinic that all we do is treat concussion. And our typical evaluation, we do the cognitive testing that we talked about a little bit in that first segment. A little bit different from the baseline because the post-injury testing differs from establishing a baseline level of functioning. We do an objective visual screening where we look at how the ocular system is working following the injury, which often can be very telling in terms of the extent of the injury.
That was my thing. I mean, we as parents, you know, we were always taught, well, if your child has, and we've had that, of course, what parent has not had this child, you know, fall and hit his head, and you watch the dilation of the pupils, is that still a valid
dilation, or if you see one pupil dilating more than the other, that's usually a pretty more, it's more of a significant warning sign. That's someone you want to probably find your way to the hospital. But we use, what we're looking at is more ocular tracking, how the eye muscles move.
I see.
And without going, you know, kind of too far down the rabbit hole, we can use things that you can't fake with how your eyes function to determine if you have an injury or not.
I see.
That's the benefit of having some of these tools available for these guys on Saturdays, because everybody wants to go back on the field.
Right.
Everybody wants to play.
Right.
But if we can educate the medical community that there are objective testing measures that we can use to be able to diagnose this injury and pick up on the severity, can be really beneficial.
What about that for us as parents? Would we have little ones and they're playing football or soccer, whatever they're doing? It's not been reported to us by a teacher or other official that this child has incurred some kind of injury. We didn't know that he fell and hit his head or maybe ran into somebody. Are there things that we should be paying attention to or looking for? Or if we were to see a certain set of behaviors, would give us some indication, hey, maybe this kid's suffered a concussion and nobody picked up on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there are certainly a lot of signs that parents, coaches, teachers can start to get more familiar with. The symptoms that the individual experiences include things like headache, dizziness, vision changes, emotional changes, fatigue, problems with sleep, problems with cognition. How that's going to be translated into what parents see is parents can actually see, and when you talk to them, and my experience often is when I start to open up that dialogue in the context of a clinical evaluation, parents notice that their child is different. They notice that they're getting more tired. They have an increased desire to take naps. They're not able to sustain as much time as they used to do homework. You know, Western academics is tremendously visual. And so if we're talking about an injury that hits the visual system, you're going to see those problems exacerbated when they try to do some of this homework or iPad or cell phone. And it's tricky because no concussion patient I've ever seen has walked in and said, you know, Dr. Burkhardt, I hit my head. I think I've got a visual problem afterwards. We're not connecting the dots yet as a society because we're not educated enough of what this injury is. But oftentimes, if you notice a difference, you notice a change in behavior, you notice a child reporting more symptoms that seem concussion-like, and you know, the CDC is a great website for it. We have the signs and symptoms of concussion on our website at TOC. I mean, you can't get enough of what these things are. I think the bigger gap for the population out there, and especially the population who has children playing sports, is connecting the dots. I'm not a guy who overbakes it. I'm not a guy who, you know, every patient who walks in is going to have a concussion and we need to do this, this, and this. But if you're able to start to realize that there are things that can be done to expedite the recovery of this thing, it's extremely beneficial.
You know, and you think about our community, and I guess this is why this, for me, as a topic, is really critical to us and for us as our part is concerned, we want to bring this to the show on a continuing basis, because if there's anything that characterizes this community, it is certainly the number of ball fields and parks.
They're everywhere.
And I mean, there isn't, I mean, we talk about the soccer mom, but it's the soccer, the softball, the Little League.
Lacrosse is becoming huge in this area.
Now there's this wild woman's sport called Ultimate Frisbee,
mm-hmm.
which I can say on good authority is absolutely insane. Because I tell people, and I watch one of my sons plays consistently and been to some of their tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
These people are
diving
nuts.
Every play.
They're nuts. Oh, they run 100 miles an hour.
Out
they
of
have
control.
No protective. They don't even wear like elbow braces or stuff. And diving for a frisbee and
right.
and meeting each other in midair.
Right.
And I'm thinking, wow. Folks, we're fortunate that we have Dr. Burkhart with us and that he's part of our community. Scott, it's nice to see you again.
Thanks for having me back.
Glad
Appreciate
to do it.
It.
Folks, that's what we have for you this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here every Saturday morning, 93.3 FM. And for those of you listening across the globe, thanks for finding us online. You can do that by going to TallahasseeTalks.com. We stream live to the web right along with everything else we do. We want to make sure that you have the opportunity to be a part of what we know is going on. That's why we're here. That's why we're glad you've tuned in today. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
The possibility of a concussion is a reality for anyone who is active in sports or physical activity. Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic has opened its regional concussion center, providing baseline and post-concussion testing to aid in evaluation and treatment. The TOC Foundation is proud to offer baseline concussion testing as a community service for only $20. Call today for an appointment, 877-8174.